Lord's Day, the 7th of December, 1997. Mr. Hyde, Shaw's Corner.
Let us now continue by singing hymn number 833. Hymn 833, tune Swabia, number 71. Thy mercy, Lord, we praise, of judgment too we sing, for all the riches of thy grace our grateful tribute bring. Mercy may justly claim a sinner's thankful voice, and judgment joining in the theme, we tremble and rejoice. Hymn number 833.
Thy mercy, Lord, we
help, I direct your attention to the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, and three words in the 11th verse. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, and three words in the 11th verse. This same Jesus. The whole verse reads, "Which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." In many respects, we as individuals are subjected to changes, and changes in circumstances, and even in changes of disposition. And whilst the application may be made to the Lord Jesus Christ that there were changes in circumstances, there were changes also insofar that sometimes he rejoiced in spirit and other times he was cast down, but nevertheless it was still the same Jesus. All of us in some respects are personalities in ourselves, and we do not change of ourselves except as and when we are given a new heart, a new nature, by the power and spirit of the living God. So in our cases of necessity, we may well see changes. And as I have already mentioned, there are those, perhaps some of us here, who have known that remarkable change, coming into the house of God without hope, without God at all, and yet being translated and transformed by the preaching of the gospel, so that we went out a very different person at the end of the service from the way we came in. And surely it is our desire that we may see that operation of the power of the Spirit on many occasions, even with our own sanctuary here. But the great point here is this same Jesus. Obviously this was a divine revelation, that when the Lord appeared in due time, they would know it is the same Jesus. Even though we now walk by faith, yet nevertheless when God visits his people, they know it is the same Jesus, the same person that the prophets wrote about, the same Jesus that was declared to be the Son of God with power whilst he was here upon the earth, the same Jesus that performed many, many miracles in those days when he was here upon the earth, the same Jesus who went about doing good, the same Jesus that raised the dead to life, and also that caused the people to rejoice in him and to cleave to him and to be followers of him, this same Jesus. We find, of course, there are some that followed him for the loaves and the fishes, and they did not stay. So many of them went back and walked no more with him. But that's the people. It's not this same Jesus. Jesus himself was the same. And you will no doubt remember that the Lord Jesus said to the apostles or the disciples that were close to him, "Will he also go away?" And Peter said, "To whom can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Now you'll see this same Jesus is distinct from any other person, because he alone has the power of eternal life, not only in himself but also to communicate that eternal life to others. So then, if we should be in a position this morning as to wonder whether it is the same Jesus that has spoken to us, then we shall know that it is the same Jesus if he communicates life into our souls. If we perhaps we came into the house of God this morning very depressed and cast down, troubled with so many, many things, yet Oh, how wonderful it will be if this same Jesus is manifested to us and we know that it is the same Jesus because he is a living God, but all the nations dead. The circumstances, of course, surrounding these few words in this chapter were quite remarkable. The situation was a very solemn situation because the disciples were to be without the Lord Jesus Christ in a physical way. And in one sense, they were sad. We turn to the 14th of John, and there we read, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." So, if God has called us by his grace to the feet of the same Jesus here mentioned, then we should be looking to the same Jesus as we proceed in life's journey, and as our objective is to see the same Jesus in heaven. It will be the same Jesus. It is true that he will be glorified. It is true that we shall be glorified. But it will be the same Jesus. And he will be recognizable because God has communicated to his people that nature of the Father, that nature of Jesus Christ, and therefore we shall find a remarkable heart attachment to this same Jesus. Obviously, these disciples were, so to speak, bereft in a very solemn way. The Lord had, after his resurrection, appeared to various people on various occasions, and the Apostle Paul himself refers to these occasions in one of his letters to the Corinthians. We read in the opening of the 15th chapter what he says. There he says that "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, and after that he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some have fallen asleep. And after that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, but this is the most important verse of them all, and last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles. I'm not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the saints of God. But it was the same Jesus that came to Paul. It's the same Jesus that will come to you in the power of his Spirit, and will touch our hearts and convince us of our sin and convert us to be followers of Jesus Christ, of himself. So then, the same Jesus. Now let us take a few points about this. A glorious person, because he is a glorious person, and such a glorious person that made the Apostle Paul cry out in very strong language when he wrote to the church at Philippi. And he says, Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. So he goes on until he comes to this verse in the next chapter. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Now, this is the Jesus that affected Apostle Paul. Now, do not think that if we are speaking of Jesus Christ at all, it's anyone else. It's the same Jesus. And though the operation upon our hearts may not be so remarkable, at least we think so, as Paul's, yet nevertheless it is the same Jesus. We may not be able to speak of a dramatic beginning as Paul did, but can we be attached to what was said afterwards, which will attract us to the same Jesus? But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things, notice the all things, but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and who count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Win Christ, and it is the same Jesus to whom are being drawn the saints of God in every age. The same desires are gathered together in just a verse or two in this third chapter of the Philippians, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So we find that the same Jesus, the Apostle Paul, had a drawing power, and a power that made the Apostle want to know more of him. And so we continue, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now, the Lord Jesus, of course, had risen from the dead, but subsequently he appeared unto various disciples, not to anybody else, not to the ungodly. The ungodly never saw Jesus again after they saw him on the cross, but the godly did. The same Jesus that died upon Calvary's cross, he revealed himself to the disciples that were so bereft when he died, and he pointed the great signs that he was the same Jesus was surely in this, that he was the one that had pierced hands and a pierced feet and a pierced side. They shall look on me whom they have pierced. So then, if it should be a concern in your hearts even today as to whether the word that Jesus you are worshipping, that you see so much in, is it really the same Jesus? Well, the Lord Jesus appeared unto his disciples, and he showed them his hand and his side. He showed him his feet also on another occasion, and so they knew it was the same Jesus that had ascended up on high, having led captivity captive and received gifts from men, yea, for the rebellious also, this same Jesus. And it may be that there is a question mark in your mind this morning, because you do not want to be deceived. Oh, there are many deceived, many people that are going out and saying, I am Christ. And another will say, I am Christ. But the Lord warned before it was he was here upon the earth not to go after them. And surely this is a distinctive feature of this same Jesus, who is the only Jesus, that is able to save unto the uttermost, and that is that he had pierced hands and a pierced side. So there is a story that just comes to my mind of a good woman who had been a Roman Catholic, I think, and in course of time the Lord visited her, and she was changed, and she was dying, and her former Roman Catholic priest came to visit her on her dying bed, and she said to him, "Why have you come?" He said, "I've come to forgive your sins." She said, "Show me your hands." She said, "You can't forgive my sins. The man that can forgive my sins has wounds in his hands." And she knew that he was an impostor. There's a great deal of significance in that little account, which I verily believe is a real account. And she had a revelation, obviously, of Jesus, who was able to save unto the uttermost and to speak pardon and peace into people's souls. But just at the moment, our attention is directed to a personal experience of an exercise toward this same Jesus. And if Jesus is in our life, if Jesus is our Saviour, we shall want to walk with Jesus, and we shall want to hear his voice. "My sheep hear my voice, I know them and they follow me." And also, we shall be glad to find some experience of God's people as recorded in the scriptures of truth. And so, the Apostle Paul, in the same chapter to the Philippians, he says, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." Now, it is a wonderful thing. This word apprehends has various meanings, but one case, of course, is to learn and to understand and to sit at the feet of Jesus. But sometimes we hear this in respect to a police officer going along and putting his hand upon a person's shoulder, a criminal, a suspected person, and he apprehends him, we say. Well, now, the apostle knew this both ways, because he had been apprehended. He had felt the hand of God upon his shoulder, and it may be that some of you have at times felt the hand of God upon your shoulder, and you have felt that the hand of the law has been upon your shoulder, and that you have trembled in your spirit, because the things that you thought were all hidden and buried are the things that are now to be brought to light. And it is on this account that you are apprehended. Now, the desire of the Apostle Paul was this: not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. So then, there is a continual desiring to know more. Oh, that my soul could know and love him more, his beauty's trace, his majesty adore, live near his heart, upon his bosom lean, obey his voice, and all his will esteem. And then, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." So, just one or two points. What happens when this same Jesus comes into people's hearts? And do not think that you'll be left out, because these feeble desires, these wishes so weak, this Jesus inspires and bids you still seek. One of the evident features of being true born and of being born of the Spirit is that you will be wanting to know more of Him. You know, it is to be feared that many people today in a profession of religion, it's just an odd occasion, a remarkable occasion, an emotional occasion, when, as they put it, they accept Christ, but He doesn't come into their life afterwards. It doesn't come in to their life as the one thing needful. Mary hath chosen that good part, and it shall not be taken away from her. Now this same Jesus is the one thing needful. And do you think it is to you? The one thing needful. I without Him perish must. So, this same Jesus. It is a wonderful to have the experience sometimes of reading the scriptures, reading about Abraham and those people, David and so on, and to feel that they all worship the same Jesus. And if we read various memoirs throughout the succeeding centuries, are you drawn, are you knit toward them, simply because they believed in, they were engrossed in the same Jesus? Remember how important is the word of truth, being in Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Now, this is not possible with any other religion. In Christ Jesus. What I am by the grace of God. And though it is a great mystery, and though it is something that, generally speaking, you will have to be led into by the Spirit of God and all the words that I can speak to you to express the situation, yet nevertheless, this same Jesus comes, and He comes to dwell in the hearts of God's people. Now, does He dwell in your heart? Because if He does, then it will affect your life, and even when you may be overtaken in temptation's hour, yet there will be that which will cry unto God Most High, unto God who is able to perform all things for us. You see, dear friends, we are subjected to many, many temptations one by another, and Satan is always on hand to try and trip us up. And even if we say, well, Satan wouldn't speak scripture, well, he did to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he quoted scripture? No. He misquoted scripture. But the Lord Jesus Christ was the fullness of scripture, and he knew it was Satan speaking. If God, if you have a word from the scripture, then check it up. It will come with power, and yet you may still say, what does it say? Has anything been left out that will misguide me in my thinking? Blessed be God if this same Jesus is the very center and substance of our experience, simply because He dwells in us, the foundation of our faith. But to look at the same Jesus from a few points. This same Jesus was always so. There were even in eternity past, before He came into this world, He was the Son of God, yes, but it was certainly inscribed in covenant relationships that in due time He would come and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Now, when you think upon that word, thou shalt call his name Jesus, surely that name was just communicated so that those that heard it should continue to use the same name that was used of in eternity by God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. When he came into the world to save sinners, he was to be known as Jesus, the Son of the living God. So then, though this is a great mystery, yet let us not think, like is often the case with ourselves, if we have a child born to us, then we think about having it a name. God didn't have to think about that at all. And when the angel came, sent from God, thou shalt call his name Jesus. And it's the same Jesus. But all that was involved in that great and precious name, he shall save his people from their sins. The same Jesus. And he hasn't altered. The same Jesus. The nature of Jesus, we find the revelation given to that good man as when he came into the house of God and worshipped God, because God had told him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Christ. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him that by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. There is such a spiritual experience with God's children. Many of them since, when they have by precious faith taken up this babe in their arms, so to speak, and have said, yes, this is the same Jesus that was born at Bethlehem. This was the same Jesus that Simeon in those days took up in his arms, and when it made him ready to depart to be in heaven itself. And furthermore, he developed a great deal about this same Jesus. What can we say about this same Jesus? Perhaps we might say, well, I'm afraid I wouldn't say very much. Of course, as is probably true, naturally, but you know, the Spirit of God opens people's mouths. We find it in the first chapter of Luke, in regard to Mary, the mother of Jesus, who spoke with such wonderful words, and also to Simeon as he goes on here, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. But it was only a babe, yes, but it was the same Jesus. The same Jesus that God has sent into the world to save poor and needy sinners, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And so he goes on to say other things. But if we go back to Mary and the mother of the Lord, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed, for he that is mighty hath done to me great things. Great things, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. And he goes on she goes on to speak of some of the wonderful truth that had been revealed to her. So then, when you look at some of these things, as you may think privately, as you meditate upon this same Jesus, and then you read about the details of this same Jesus, and you can identify yourself as knowing the same person. Have you ever come into the spirit of Mary when she said, "My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour"? And we shall bear this point in mind, and something that I like to persist in, and that is the personal, positive, practical experience of all God's people. You see, Mary said, "The Lord doth my soul doth magnify the Lord." And what made her say that? Just turning the page back, we read that the angel of the Lord appeared unto Mary and said, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favour with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. Of his kingdom there shall be no end." So you see, we have a number of details in the scripture concerning this same Jesus, whereby we can judge the matter for ourselves, and blessed be God if we have looked at some of these passages at times and felt a movement in our hearts are being drawn to the same Jesus that Mary magnified in her soul, the same Jesus that Simeon spoke about when he was made him ready to depart. It was the same Jesus. If there is one thing that is so very clear in the scriptures, the same Jesus is mentioned under various situations. The prophet spoke of him, but how clear did they speak of him? It was not in a garbled version, it was version. It was not in a way that other people may not know what was being said, even at his birth. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Now, over the lives of God's people, this same Jesus, and you've got all the details about him, will be manifested in your varying experiences. Notice then, "and his name shall be called Wonderful." Can you say that you know this same Jesus? Because he's been wonderful to you. Wonderful in his divine passion. What was there in me that could merit esteem or give my Creator delight? Was even so, Father, I ever must sing, because it seemed good in thy sight. The same Jesus that was spoken of by Isaiah as wonderful. Wonderful is not a word that can be used very often, and perhaps sometimes when it is used it's not really appropriate. But this same Jesus, his name is Wonderful. We find in the prophecy of Zechariah about Joshua the high priest, who was clothed in filthy garments. And later on in that same chapter, we come to this: they were men wondered at. And if the same Jesus has entered into your heart, you and I, yea, we shall all be, men, women or children, we shall be identified in the same way. He will be wonderful. There may be situations in our lives when we've had a wonderful deliverance from some kind of trouble. But have you come to this point in your soul when this same Jesus has been revealed to you by the Spirit of the living God as your Savior? Wonderful! How could he save me with all my sins, with all my waywardness? How could he save me? It's a wonderful news. It was surely a wonderful news to the disciple, the shepherds, as they were watching their flocks in the days when the Lord Jesus was born. You see, the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy." Do notice these words, not just joy. And this is one of the distinctive features of true religion, because every revelation of this same Jesus is amazing. It is wonderful, and it produces great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And so he goes on to describe the situation in which the Lord Jesus was born. And you will notice the effect. "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem." Not tomorrow. Not sometime in the future, sometime when it's convenient, but now. And if you had a revelation of this same Jesus, it'd have to be now. So it was here. It came to pass that as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass." Notice there were no questions. They didn't go to find out whether it was true. They said in their confession, "Which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. It was the same Jesus that had been spoken of in prophecy, and what a wonderful experience that was. Sometimes God's people, even in the present day, have had a wonderful experience as they meditated upon the birth of Jesus Christ. And you can only say, as you gaze upon that babe which was still holding up, his shoulders were holding up heaven and earth while Mary held up him, he was still the Son of God. He was still now the Son of Man. He was now the Savior. And what a wonderful thing. If God enables you by precious faith and the power of the Spirit upon you to look upon Jesus, the babe of Bethlehem, the same Jesus that the shepherds looked upon, the same Jesus that Saint Simeon spoke about, the same Jesus which was revealed to some at that time. Yes, it's the same Jesus. And yet, though he was a babe and not a grown man, he was the same Jesus. And if we come to think of it, even with regard to our own family life, we have a babe, we have a child growing up, but it's the same person. It's the same person, even though that person may live to a great old, a good old age. Same person. And so it is, as these disciples looked in the the babe of Bethlehem in the manger, the same Jesus was the same one that appeared later on unto others, but also the same one that appeared to others before. Remember, the Lord Jesus said concerning Abraham, "He saw my day and was glad." He saw my day and was glad. Job says, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." How could he know that? It was because this same Jesus had been revealed to him, and that he was a mighty Saviour. Jesus is a mighty Saviour. Wretched souls have here a friend. He has borne our misbehaviour, and his mercies know no end. So, this same Jesus, oh, the same Jesus, as he grew up, as he went into the temple, we see him speaking with the doctors, this same Jesus, and what would they have said? They said, how hath this man letters, not having learned? Later on, but there he was asking questions, and so on, and he was wonderful. Have you ever thought, observed by faith, the Lord Jesus Christ standing there before all the doctors and speaking of tremendous truth? Wonderful. Oh, wonderful. But also, you see, this same Jesus is a counselor. How many times have we proved in our lives the importance of Jesus being our counselor? And if we can discuss the matter, or shall I say, speak to other about the Lord Jesus being our counselor, do we not feel that we're talking about the same person? There's only one who can give counsel, and his counsel is indeed referred to in the scriptures as wonderful. Wonderful. And therefore there is a link here. Wonderful counselor. And what counsel does he give? In the chapter 13th of John that we read part of it, there was counsel. Now, the Lord Jesus, the same Jesus, he did not give counsel to the disciples merely by telling them you must be this and you must be that and you must be the other, but he showed them by washing the disciples' feet. Now the purpose here is not that we should go around washing the disciples' feet. In these days, it was customary in those days to wash people's feet because they wore sandals for the most part and they came through sandy terrain. And so it was necessary. But who was it that washed those travellers' feet? It wasn't the head of the house. No, dear, no, it wasn't. It was one of the meanest servants who was appointed to wash the visitors' feet. Now we find the Lord Jesus Christ, the same Jesus we're speaking to you about this morning, was one that became a servant. I am among you as one that serveth. Surely that's going to have an effect upon you and upon me. The same Jesus. Do we know anything about the same Jesus? Has he appeared unto us? Has he set before us his own pattern? And have we been astonished? Have we said, like Peter, thou shalt never wash my feet? But what I do, thou knowest not, not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Now, when these things are worked out in our experience, and they work out in a parallel way, the Lord Jesus, of course, doesn't come into your life and into mine and do what he did to the disciples that were there with him at that time. But at the same time, we go through the process. We go through the process. God teaches us, draws a conclusion from that which is written of him. And what he says, what he has done, and what we feel in our own heart indicates to us, makes us realize, it's the same Jesus, the same one. What he did to the disciple, he has done to many, all his children ever since, to make them feel, I am one among you, I am among you as one that serveth. And we should not gaining anything by his service. It is right for us to be amongst ourselves as servants one to another. But we do not do this in order that we may gain salvation. Nevertheless, it is a principle that we have seen and known this same Jesus, who humbled himself and made himself of no reputation. And he did it willingly, and he did it powerfully. In a way, he did it silently. He did it in such a way that the disciples, no doubt, never forgot it. As God, even the Lord Jesus Christ, identified himself as the same Jesus that is, who is referred to in the scriptures by his actions and by his words that have come into your experience in your lifetime, so that you can say, when you look at the word of God, this is the same Jesus. The same Jesus. He's spoken to me. He's worked in my heart. He has given me power to humble myself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt me in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. The same Jesus. So then, though it may be that Jesus could be likened to a person that is a person that rose up in history, yet nevertheless we find that when Paul was giving his testimony before King Agrippa and Felix, I think it's Felix, and Felix says to Agrippa, he said, Paul speaks of one who is Jesus, who is, he is alive, but we know that he's dead. Now, to many people, Jesus, yes, they would allow that he was a person that lived upon this earth, but now he's dead. But Jesus is alive. Paul spoke of Jesus as being alive. Can we say in our turn that we know that he's alive, because we've had communications with him, we've heard his voice, we've felt the power of his spirit working upon us, so he is alive. And it is the living that shall praise thee, said Hezekiah, as I do this day. The living. Now the living can recognize the living. The living will recognize them, but the dead know not anything. So, can we say, this same Jesus has made me alive? And I know it is so, because I feel a spiritual life in my soul, so that there is an attachment to another living creature, another living one. But this one is the one that has risen again, and reigns in heaven, and is a mediator in heaven, an intercessor in heaven, an advocate in heaven, this same Jesus. And he undertakes. You know, when Hezekiah was in deep trouble, he said, O Lord, I am oppressed, undertake for me. To whom was he praying? The Lord Jesus had not descended into upon the earth, but he was praying to the same Jesus. The same Jesus who was in due time coming to assume the Son of God and do all that was necessary for his salvation. And do you find that you must come to this same Jesus who has almighty power? If you've got an almighty trouble, an almighty burden which presses you down, then you'll want an almighty power to remove it. So, says Hezekiah, O Lord, I am oppressed. And he couldn't, at least the word of God doesn't tell us any more. No, I am oppressed. And is your case so complex that, yes, you can say, I'm oppressed. But if someone was to ask you, about what are you oppressed? What's troubling you? You say, I don't know. And this is often the way with God's people. Sometimes they're troubled, pressed down with twice 10,000 cares, and they couldn't enumerate any of them. But I'm oppressed. And this same Jesus, in drawing near unto him, you come to him, and he knows that he will understand about what you are oppressed, and how many things that you are oppressed about, and furthermore, what your enemies are, and how troubled you are because of them, and you feel you have no ability to withstand the force. Oh Lord, I'm oppressed. Undertake for me. That's a wonderful word, undertaker. We are familiar with it, our dear friends that died from time to time. And you see, when you come into the place of bereavement, you're coming into a situation which isn't every day. And very, very often when we come into this kind of situation, we are taken aback. We're not sure what to do. What do we do next? But blessed be God, if we come to the Lord Jesus, the same Jesus, when Jesus undertook, what a wonderful word that was, what a view the hymn writer had when he penned the words of that glorious hymn, when Jesus undertook to rescue ruined man, the realms of bliss forsook, and to relieve us ran. Notice that. Didn't come with a leisurely place. I know perhaps you might recall one or two occasions, such as when Lazarus died, that he stayed 4 days before he came, but nevertheless, he came. But with regard to the great and urgent matter of your salvation, when Jesus undertook to save, rescue ruined man, the realms of death forsook, and to relieve us ran. He spared no pains, declined no load, resolved to buy us with his blood. Well, blessed be God, if in a little measure we can recognize this same Jesus. Is he the one that you know? Is he the one that you prove? Is he the one that is full of grace and truth? Is he the one who will give grace and glory? No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. We leave the subject for this morning. Amen.
Let us close by singing hymn 1102, tune Hand Force, number 673. I'll read the first and the last verse. Why those fears? Behold, 'tis Jesus holds the helm and guides the ship. Spread the sails and catch the breezes sent to waft us through the deep to the regions where the mourners cease to weep. Rendered safe by his protection, we shall pass the watery waste. Trusting to his wise direction, we shall gain the port at last, and with wonder sink on toils and dangers past. Hymn number 1102.
Yeah.